Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again with our hearts open to you. Lord, speak to us. I ask that you speak to us. Please speak. Please speak. Our ears are open. Our hearts are ready. We ask that you speak. Speak, for we want to hear. Speak, that we might live and not die. Speak to us. Your voice quickens. Yea, you say the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Because the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Speak to us. Speak us out of flesh. Speak our souls out of the miry clay. Speak, O God. Speak, we pray you. Let the cedars of Lebanon shake. Let the wilderness of Kadesh, let it shake. Let everything that needs to be shaken within us, let it shake. That we might live for you. In the name of Jesus. I pray for utterance. That you grant me utterance that I will speak as you will have me do this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's start from somewhere. Last week, we began talking about conversation. Because that's actually what we are looking at. Conversation of everlasting life. Or conversation of everlasting life. And I'm saying that one of the things that God wants to do, praise God, is to bring us to the place where we'll embody a conversation. One thing the Lord told me recently is that there are certain conversations that are going to visit the earth again. There are conversations. There's a conversation of the spirit of the just man made perfect. There's a conversation of spirit of just men made perfect. Now, give me 11, the last verse of 11. I want us to look at it because we are going to be staying a whole lot in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, he said, God haven't provided some better things for us. That they without us. They without us. Should not be made perfect. That they without us should not be made perfect. So there is something that has, when we say provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It's not us that makes them perfect. It is those things that have been provided for us. Those things that have been provided for us are the things that they need to be made perfect. So if we say they without us, like I said, it's not about us. Because we stand a chance of also not being able to partake of the, I'll call it the perfection that is being spoken of. Amen. we stand a chance of missing the perfection that is being spoken of. If we do not take what is provided for us. Now, to understand it better, like I said, when you watch these men from Hebrews chapter 11, from Abel down, mentioning the name of this man, they actually, many scriptures just keep rolling, and I pray I'll be able to pick the ones that are necessary. This man you're seeing here, from Abel down to every one of them, one thing that is common with them is that they all embodied a conversation. Amen. It's really very, very interesting. They embodied something. Now, what you call scriptures that we read, Daddy was teaching, was it yesterday? He was talking about yesterday morning. He was talking about, you know, God downloading scriptures through Moses. And I want to show you something, that after it was downloaded, do you know that if it was left the way Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy wrote them as instructions, we will not have been able to really read and understand. You need to get that. So God had to, those things that have been spoken, he had to also raise men who will demonstrate them. In fact, before those speakings came, the whole of Genesis, we are demonstrations. We are demonstrations. They were all demonstrating something. Abel, let's take Abel for instance. Give me Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, you know, I told you, when you see by faith, I want you to, you see that faith there, of course, I said, it is not faith, it's faith of everlasting conversation. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we read there, for he that cometh to God. So these men, we are all coming to God. Amen. They were all doing what? They were all coming to God. Can we say they were all coming to God? So they were in the journey of coming to God. How? For without faith, it is impossible to come to God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Two things are mentioned here you will see. You will see the representation of everlasting life and also eternal life, because eternal life is a reward. Must believe that he is a walk, which is the living God. He is. Must believe that he is, meaning he is a work that has to be done. I don't know whether you understand me. He is a work that has to be done. So how do you do the work? Pleasing him. It's by pleasing him. You have to please him. Now, nothing pleases him that is not a work wrought in faith. When I mean a work wrought in faith, not just what you do, but what he did in you, what you actually allowed him to do in you. How do you allow him to do? When you obey a conversation, I will show you how it is. When you obey a conversation or you align with a conversation, you actually allowing work to be done in you. Amen. These two sons of Adam are interesting. And you know, you hear Reverend always say that he feels God actually liked Cain, firstborn. Just the same way Isaac liked Esau. God liked him. Because the way even God dealt, he was the first person that killed. And God was about to, you know, put a punishment on him, and he contested over it. He contended over it, and God lessened it. God did. God lessened it. So this is too heavy for me. And God said, okay, we will lessen it. It means God had something for that young man. But there was something about, so you can understand, these two sons, we are showing us something. Now, I want to also make us please understand this, that Cain, when you see, when he said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. More excellent. You can't offer an excellent sacrifice without an excellent knowledge. Amen. The Lord will bless us today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In all to Shiva Simio Shete Fretis to Blatteriana Shigesion Zakainin. Maideo just two ya pies in Shovias and Singios Atavis Tiniadzin. Ena Ake Debashtai Kesian Sentiova. Cain was excellent. Cain was excellent. Cain was excellent. Cain was excellent. Cain was excellent enough to attract even the attention of the anti-excellence one. The anti-excellence one. He attracted his attention. For you see, there was a conversation being built in him by reason of being the firstborn. Even the firstborn. Even the firstborn. Upon his shoulders lay a great responsibility. No wonder the enemy came after him. No wonder the enemy came after him. For you see, a work was already being built in him until sin found a way into his heavens. Sin found a way into his heavens. And from there onwards, it was a spiral downwards. It was a spiral downwards. For you see, the enemy prides himself in being able to take down excellent beings. He prides himself in being able to take down excellent beings after the order of the earth. For you see, excellence in the earth, excellence in the earth is still under, angelic excellence. It's still under angelic excellence. No wonder even the Son that the Father finally raised was given a name that is more excellent, higher than the excellence of angels. That is where the Lord intends man to come to. I intend to make you excellent. I want you to be more excellent than this earth, even more excellent than angels. Come to the realm of excellence of even your Lord, even your Lord, even your Lord, who is excellent, and not just excellent. He is more excellent. He is more excellent. He is a child of the most excellency. He is more excellent than they. Come and learn the conversation of more excellency, says the Spirit of God.
That's the message. That's the message. When he said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Now, if there is more excellent, then there was excellent. Now, like I said, you can't offer a more excellent or an excellent sacrifice without excellent knowledge. Because when you're offering, you're not just offering bulls and goats. You are offering yourself. You're offering a walk. Now, for Cain, of course, before you can even offer an excellent sacrifice, you must have offered good sacrifice. You must have offered good sacrifice. Good sacrifice is the sacrifice of Christ. Is the sacrifice of Christ. You know, God is not asking us for bulls and goats, asking us for sheep and lamb to be brought to the altar for blood to be shed, but He's still asking for sacrifice. He's still asking for sacrifice. God is a God of sacrifice. Sacrifices and offering are his terrain. What I mean is his terrain. You when you say without faith is impossible to please God, why? What is that faith? That's a sacrifice. That's what you call faith. There is a sacrifice. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it means that the terrain of God, you, when you're coming to God, you are sacrificing. If you're not sacrificing, you're not coming. The reason for conversation is to turn us to sacrifices. We'll be sacrificing along the way. What are we sacrificing? You can't lose your life without sacrifices. By taking conversations from on high, what we're actually doing is that we are sacrificing. So the terrain of God, when you are stepping into His terrain, every step you make is a sacrifice. David caught it and said, I will not offer to God that which does not cost me. Sacrifices and offering thou would not. Now, what he was referring to as sacrifices and offering is sacrifices of bulls and goats, burnt offering, and all those offerings which they offered. He said, thou would not, but a body. Why a body? The body is to embody a conversation. A body thou hast prepared for me to show a manner of conversation. And when I'm showing that manner of conversation, what I'm doing is I'm sacrificing. I'm sacrificing something. Something is shedding. A blood is being shed. When I am taking a conversation, something is shedding. Let's knock on this door a little bit. So if you said Abel by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, then it means that, like I always say, both of them came of stature to offer. God won't tell you to offer when He has not given you something. So what He gives to us is knowledge. Now that knowledge for excellent sacrifice, knowledge here, like I said, is not referring to knowledge. Like you said, let the words of Christ dwell in you. This is the knowledge of the living God. That is why it's called excellent. So Both of them knew the everlasting God. Cain knew the everlasting God. He knew the demands of the everlasting God. He refused. He knew the sacrifices. Now, like I said, he would have done good sacrifices, because we are talking about excellent sacrifice. He would have done good sacrifices prior to this time. He would have done good sacrifices. Cain was a priest. For a way to be patented to him, he was a priest. Abel was also a priest. How? What makes priest is knowledge. What is in the mouth of the priest? The law. According to Malachi, you seek the law from the lips of the priest. So the priest has knowledge. That knowledge, the Lord just told me, he said, what makes for image? And he said, image. Image is as a result of this excellent knowledge. Excellent knowledge. So they, when we say they've come of age is not that they've all gotten to 30. Come of age is actually stature. And what is the stature? Stature is calibrated according to the tabernacle. Stature in the spirit is calibrated according to the tabernacle. That's how they measure stature, because the tabernacle has measurements. So where you are is according to, in the spirit, is according to the knowledge your soul has trapped. When I mean knowledge, I'm not just talking about information. I'm talking about life. Life that your soul has trapped. Life that you can actually show. Life that you can demonstrate. That's how they measure your stature. And that life is what they now, that qualifies you to stand to offer. You don't offer when you don't have life. God doesn't take sacrifices from the dead. Doesn't take sacrifices from the dead. You have to be, because you're coming to the living God. What he actually takes is life. When you offer life. You are offering, because blood, which they offer, the blood of bulls and goats, they are, according to Genesis, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you offer, what you're offering, what they call sacrifice, is actually life. 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 You offer life. So in other words, Cain also came to a stature, meaning they all possess. You know, God has said, so let us make man in our own image. Did you understand what that means? Let us make. So they make you with knowledge. What did I say? They make you, when he said, let us make man, they make you with knowledge. When they said, let us make man, there's a kind of man they are seeing. The kind of man that can be made per time is according to the knowledge that is available. Even in the secular, the kind of men we have on earth right now is not the kind of men we had 100 years ago. Why? Because there's something on the earth. There's a knowledge, awareness that is on the earth that was not there. So you will see a kind of man. And when you say man of sin are in different shades. They are in different shades. They are in different manners. They are man of sin. They are men who we are made as a result of knowledge of sin. Sin also wants to make man. Not the way God said, let us make man in our own image. After our likeness, sin said, I will also make man in my own image. And after my likeness. And he succeeded with one. But you see that one he succeeded with, he had already made many. And he has been trying to make, see, he was the one that came after Cain. He came after Cain. Because he also has excellence, something excellent. Because all of them, they excel. What makes them excel? Knowledge. All of those spirits, cherubims. Now, as I'm preaching, I'm just thinking some people don't understand what Pastor is saying, the way he's saying things. But wait a little bit, you will understand it. They all excel, all of them, cherubims. They excel in strength. They have excellent strength. So when he saw men who were excellent, he was attracted. Was attracted to Cain. But at the time God was, so what God just did was raise the bar. I want something more. Can you offer something more? That offering was not to, so that God can be happy. No, God wanted to beat Satan. Satan was there bargaining for, you know the way he said to, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires you. So Satan began to, it's not the first time, when Peter was not the first time he desired, do you know how many times he had desired you? But you know, the Lord will not allow him because he knows that some of us might not be able to stand him. But much more, he desires men who have come of age. Because he struggles, you don't know how much Satan struggles with men. You don't know how much he struggles with men. You know, you would just think, no, there is darkness that covered men. Everybody is doing things out of ignorance. And the days of ignorance, God has winked at. Because he knows that there is something covering men. Now, it is not every sinner's eye that has been opened. It's not everybody's eye that has been opened. To open your eyes, they have to give you knowledge. Sin is also a knowledge. There's a knowledge of sin. Why is that tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam could eat it because of his stature. If he is like, let me say, he was not up to the stature of a priest. Listen to me. Go check it. If he eats it, nothing will happen. In fact, the first is that he will not even see it. He won't see it. He won't discern it. How did Eve eat it? She saw. That what saw wasn't with physical eyes, because you can't see a fruit. You see apple, you say, okay, I'm seeing that this apple will make me wise. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So it wasn't physically seeing. It means she had some level of discernment. She discerned the tree, discerned the fruit, knew what it was capable of doing. How did she come to that ability to discern. Somebody preached to her. How did she come to the discerning ability? Somebody has been talking to her. And I don't want to believe that it was that first day or this very day that she ate it that he began to talk. I'm sure he must have been coming, not only to her, even to Adam. Because Adam was with her. And Adam may somehow have been, I don't know, I don't want to disobey God, but you know, this thing you're saying, I need to consider it. I think you're making a sense, but you know. So, it wasn't just a day or something that happened, a happenstance. There was a transaction. How many of you believe what I said? There was a transaction. Transaction of telling you. But by the time I begin to tell you what this can do for you, this can do for you. Like you're a sister. You want to follow the Lord. And then you happen to jam one guy. A bad guy. We have some bad guys. Sinners. That will just zero in on that daughter of Zion. It's Satan that is on him to destroy a life. And then you just, you know, you're coming for meeting, he's seeing you. He might not say anything, he's just seeing you. Lost in desiring you. Then one day, he just decides to just talk to you. Hello? I always see you passing here. Where are you going to? They say, I'm going for fellowship. Wow. I like people who are serious with God. It's a lie. I like people who are serious with God. In fact, all my life I've been praying that I'll meet somebody who is serious with God. A lady that is serious with God. You don't meet them on the street. Come to church. And tell him, don't come to church because of me. Because I don't have time for you. You know the way you deal with Satan? When Satan is troubling you, that's how you need to deal with that issue. I'm talking to someone. I knew it in my spirit. I didn't just go there on my own. Because he just wants to trap you. So what he begins to do is to tell you things. First of all, he began with the fact that you are serious with God. That's a ground he can. He knows if he tells you something way far from what you are doing, he won't get you. So he comes to your ground to begin to lure you, draw you. One of these days I'll follow you to your fellowship. Please, can I have your number? So that I can call you when I want to follow you to fellowship. Tell him, you don't need my number. Let me give you the address of 559 Ikorodu Road. That is where we meet every Sunday. Sunday school is by. And for your information, we finish sometimes around 4. You know, some of them, you need to give it to them like that. Because
If you tell you, you know, some of them think, okay, it's church where you just go, you know, you just hang out 30 minutes, the message is gone. You come, when you come, you just, you know, as you're coming, praise worship is going on. You see the choir, the musicians, they are singing, and then they are making melody. And then after that, the pastor will just come and then give you one sandwich sermon of 30 minutes. And then everybody, you are greeting each other, and then you're, you know, and no, here, we will drill you. When he enters, by the time we finish Sunday school, somebody attended our service for the first time. You know, I told you when you go to Church of Seraphims, you will run. Attended our service for the first time. Right now, I even tried to make Sunday school. Those days were days when I used to round off Sunday school. Sometimes rounding off Sunday school, I can take 45 minutes, 1 hour. So he came for the first time. And then, I think it was it Pastor T or one of the pastors who was teaching Sunday school and taught and taught and taught. And it's 1 hour, 30 minutes for teaching of Sunday school. And then finished, I took over and then give another 1 hour rounding up. By the time we finished, she was quarreling me. Because we finished, she now said that she thought, finally, it's over. Church is over. So, he was expecting, as the choir sang, you know, when the choir finished singing, then announcement and offering and we go. But when the choir finished singing, then I came back to now start preaching. So tell him that we finish sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. But tell him that we finish sometimes 4 p.m. By the time they drill you with Sunday school, everything you came with. In fact, you would have been convicted. In fact, tell him, don't collect my number. I'll give you number of one of my... In fact, I'll give you the number of Leke. There's one of my pastors called Leke. I'm going to give you his number. Anytime you want, just call him. Liars with him because I don't have time. Leke, I hope I didn't. Because I know you deal with such guys very well. But like I said, what he will try to do is to see if he can lure you, talk to you, tell you what he can do for you. If you give that chance, if you don't stop it, if you don't, because if Eve has stopped, there's something that would have said Satan will go. He may come another time, but at least that season he would have left them. Because he left Jesus for a while.
Thank you, Jesus. Tempt. Be wise not to fall even into snares that the adversary plots, even into snares that he plots even around you for to slow you down, for to hinder even the progress of your walk. Be wise not to fall even into his schemes, for he is a schemer. He is a schemer. Evil spirits are schemers, and they scheme even with the intent of making you to fall. They scheme even even with the intent of disrupting even your journey, even your journey. Therefore, I say, be wise. Therefore, I say, be wise. Therefore, I say, arm yourselves even with wisdom, even wisdom to push off, even to shield yourself from the adversary schemes, even schemes that are designed from to stop you from making progress, from to stop you even from advancing, even in the direction of life, even in the direction of abundant life. Be wise, saith the Lord. Be wise. Yea, flee appearances, even appearances, even appearances, even appearances. Appearances that gratifies your lust, flee them. Run from them. From afar, take a detour from them, that your journey would not be delayed, that the adversary would not put loads upon you that will slow down your journey, that will make you not make even the required speed that I have intended you to make. Be wise, that you do not fall into temptation.
You need to be wise. You need to be wise. You need to be wise to stop it. Don't let that conversation continue. Don't let that discussion continue. Stop it. Because after a while, you will not be able to. You would have been taken. Because it's little by little, the little strength you have will be reducing. Satan, his intention is to shift you. And you won't even know when he's shifting you already. What he just does is that he comes on the ground and he knows you will think he's your friend, and then lure you gradually and gradually. If you don't stop it there, before you know what is happening, you will get to the point. I believe that's what happened to Cain. Because sin was lying at his door. Sin was lying at his door. That sin that was lying at his door was the voice of a stranger. Because what I've been talking to them was also a voice. A voice of a stranger is what they call sin. That voice of a stranger is suggestions. Suggestions of the enemy. Now, enemy here is not household enemy. Enemy here is not one who is carrying dagger wanting to kill you. Enemy here comes as a friend. You won't know when he steals from you. In fact, you would have given him willingly before you realize that I've lost something. He has just stolen from you. And if at all there's any argument before the court of heaven, he will say he relinquished it to me. He gave it to me. That was what he did to man. What did he do? He preached to man. You will be like God. You know, that thing is still his message. His message has not changed. You will be like God. You will be like God means you will be sufficient. You will not need to rely. That was what science, I mean, what sin was telling Cain. You know, I was teaching in Ephesus Life, and I said, you know, some of us have thought, okay, maybe the reason why the sacrifice of Abel was more excellent was because he offered a lamb. I said, you don't know Bible. Because there's what is called first fruit. As also an offering. So if Abel offered by virtue of conversation he perceived in the spirit, which conversation I feel Abel saw something in the spirit. All of them, they saw something in the spirit. That's what the Bible said. They saw it afar off and they embraced it. Abel saw something in the spirit. He saw the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He saw something. He saw one died because they were already, as it were, man had already fallen. He saw that we judge that if one died for all, it means that all is dead. Then it remains that they that are alive should not live for themselves, but live for him who died for all. Those were conversations that we are coming to him as thoughts. I should not hold my life. I should not hold my life. I should relinquish. Right now, I should be able to relinquish this to God. Now, what God was demanding in that season was excellent. Excellent. I told us what made it more excellent was knowledge had visited them. Amen. Abel offered by revelation. Conversation is not after righteousness if it is not as a result of revelation of a life which God says is right. So it means it wasn't just that Abel knew that what I should offer is a lamb. No, there was a life. He had already started obeying. He was obeying something. So he got it by revelation. See, this is what I'm saying. That he wouldn't have been able to offer at the point when the demand came if he had not been doing something. He had been obeying something. He had been obeying a lifestyle. He had been obeying a lifestyle. So when it was time to offer, though it was a physical sacrifice, but it represented something in the spirit. And God saw. You know, let me give you an example. When people came to bring offering in the temple, do you remember that incident? Jesus was his disciples. People were bringing offering. You saw, you know, guys who had substances. Bringing out of their abundance, they brought something good. And there was this woman. She had just, but how much? Which you call widow's mite, right? She was a widow, and then all her life support, a certain poor widow, cast in tither 2 mites, which you now call widow's mite. Now here somebody say, this is my own widow's mite. I ask them, are you a widow? Don't claim what you don't want. I've just brought my widow's mite. You don't have the mite of a widow. If you understand what widow's mite is, you will not say it. And what did Jesus say? I'm using that as an example to show you what I'm talking about here. What did Jesus say? Give me that place. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow... No, first of all, there was something he said before this. He asked them a question. Let's see that quickly. I think that should be verse. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, four, where we are reading is three, right? Let's read it through. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. It's two mites. Put it together, it will make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples. Thank you. Thank you for getting it. It's a mark. He called unto his disciples and he said unto them, verily I say unto you. Now, I'm sure you would have said, they were all observing what was going on. So verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more excellent. She has cast in more. Than all they which has cast into the treasury. So what made it more? And you see how heaven judges. Rich men we are bringing out of their... I'm sure if it was, they would have carried their gold, their booze, their silver, their gold, which is not anything close to. I mean, farthing is not anything close to it. With farthing, what you can buy with farthing is a sparrow. You know that little bird? That's what you buy with farthing. For all they that did cast of their abundance, they gave out of their abundance. But she, of her want did she cast in all she had. So I want you to see that sense of sacrifice. Now I want you to bring it to Abel and see how Abel gave. It was a hard disposition. It was a hard disposition that was giving all. So that one lamb he offered was representing all. Just like those farthing represented all her living. That's how Jesus called it. He said she had given all her living. So what God wants you to give is all your living. All your living. So when you judge Cain, you know Cain, that guy Cain. How many of us like Cain? Nobody, of course. But you know, all of us have Cainish tendencies inside of us. In fact, we love Cain. Because you love that Cainish tendency that is inside of you. That Cainish tendency is a tendency to keep your life. Now, when you reject conversation from on high, what you're actually doing is that you're keeping something. The soul is not without conversation. No soul is without conversation. So when you say so, rejecting a conversation that is from heaven is because he has another conversation which he cherishes and which is his living. That's his living. What was the conversation of this woman? She's a widow. But she was willing to, when she gave her widowhood. She gave her
life. She gave everything. She was going home not knowing what else is going to happen. But she did that because she knows that the God of Israel is the husband of the widow.
Now, how can God be your husband when I don't see God? I don't see God. Where is God?
No, but he is the husband of the widow.
So like I said, back to Abel. When Abel was offering, Abel was seeing something. Abel was seeing a conversation in the spirit. He was seeing it, like I talked about Zion last Sunday. I was talking about David particularly. He saw something in the spirit. You know, it was because of what David saw that he didn't go after Absalom. You think maybe he was afraid of Absalom? Or maybe he didn't want to fight him because he was his son? No! He knew more than that. He had knowledge. He knew this is not the throne of David. This is not the real throne. This is not the throne. How you will know is that he didn't even place so much emphasis on the throne. Rather, he was more interested in wearing ephod. Those are not the robe of kingship. Kings, they want purple robe. They want royal diadem. They want palace furnished. Their emphasis was David. I was glad. That was a king. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Abba, king. You don't understand what I'm saying. There was something that was informing all of those things you're hearing. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Meaning nothing gladdened my heart. I'm not excited because I am a king. In fact, as a matter of fact, David didn't know he was a king. You know how I know? It got to a point in the story that the Bible said, when it dawned on David, when I read that, I said, what kind of man is this? I want to be like this. When it dawned on David that he was the king, so all this while, he didn't realize, he thought he was still a rebel leader. Thought he was still a fugitive. It didn't dawn on him. So those things are not the things that we are called. But immediately he came on board. The first thing is, you could even see it in the song. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How amiable are your tabernacle, O God? How amiable are your tabernacle? How amiable are your tabernacle? What tabernacle was he talking about? He was seeing something in the spirit. He was seeing something in the spirit. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. That's a king talking. I've desired, and I will seek after, that I may dwell in your house forever. Inquiring in your temple, beholding your beauty. That is a conversation that David embodied. I don't know if you're seeing what I'm talking about. So you can understand there was something Abel saw. But to also make you see that there was something Abel was obeying. He was doing something. Because when you see and you don't hearken, like I said, it's because you have another conversation that you cherish and you want to keep. But God wants you to relinquish that. What did I say? The purpose for revelation, which is the importation of conversation. Revelation is the importation of conversation. The purpose for revelation is that it should be embodied. The word was made flesh. The word was made flesh. That scripture. The word was made flesh and we beheld his glory. Let me leave it for another day. But like I said, there was something Abel saw. And I also want to believe that there's something Cain saw. Because he had stature to see. But you can see and withdraw. You can see and refuse. So it's not enough to see. Tell somebody it's not enough to see. Mm-mm. When you see, because the Bible said they saw it afar off. What did they do? They embraced it. Embracing it, they now confessed. Give me that place. Let's examine it a little bit before we come back to this Cain and Abel thing. These all died in what? I will forget the first time. This was where the word of righteousness actually opened up for me. Because having learned Higgins faith, is a faith for victory. Victorious Christian living. Now, we didn't know Higgin that much. We only heard the victory reports. We only heard the faith exploits. Now, the reason why we didn't know him that much was not because that aspect of him was closed, but because we were children. When you listen to, you know, those days when you, like I used to say, we didn't have much of Higgins' books because Higgins' books were really scarce in Nigeria. I'm talking about in the 90s, early 90s. The only person that had the, what do you call the franchise to bring Higgins' books and materials to Nigeria was a brother called Edisale. Many of us are not aware of ADC. ADC Bookshop and Library. It's just a brother who is a businessman that gave his life to Christ and just felt he needs to, sponsor the kingdom. And so he established the library. Now what he was doing with the library was that he would stock books that are not easy to come by. Books, you meet Kenneth Copeland's book. Wow, expensive. Higgins books, expensive. We could not afford it. The books that I could buy then were books that were printed maybe in Nigeria. Foreign authors, like that was how I got to know. Nobody introduced Robert Sliadon to me. Robert Sliadon, that's the writer of God's General. I met him at the bookshop. You don't understand what I mean by that. I went to the bookshop because I was always visiting bookshops. Every Christian bookshop. Those days in Bagada, you know, the way it's now built up is not the way it was. The place you see car park used to be bookshops lined up in the 90s. And then the other place was the place where they built the church was, if you know what was there before, it was just like what we had in Ajegunle. When we are in Ajegunle, just sticks raised and then roofed with zinc. And that was where they were worshiping there. But there was this bookshop, line of bookshops. So I'll just take out time. Any money I have, I'll just go there. I will walk, enter all the bookshops. I spend time there. I will look at the books. I'll read the back, look at the author, read what he wrote there, check the content. And then if I don't like it, I'll drop it. I'll check for music, Integrity, Hosanna, Maranatha. That's how I get to know all of them. And, I'll buy some of the tapes, music to listen to. Amen. That's how I was a youth. So I'll check some books. I'll see Robert Sliadon. The first book of his I saw, I've told you stories of that. How many of you remember? I saw heaven. At least if you've not heard me say that, teenagers would have heard me say that in teens church, because I've told you that story before. I saw heaven. That was his first book I saw. I read it. When I finished reading that book, I got home. As I was going home, I was just, not long after I gave my life to Christ, you know, I was going home, and I mean not long, some years. I was going home, I just told the Lord, I said, you're partial. That was a child talking. I was a child, and the Lord understood. I said, you're partial. Is it because this boy is a Yibo boy? Because you know the idea they made us think that Jesus is a Caucasian. You know, the idea of Jesus we have is what they draw for us in the almanac. Pure Caucasian. Jesus had dark skin. Not white skin, not light skin. He was not maybe not as dark as mine, but he had dark skin. Amen. I know somebody, some people want to argue it. It's your business. The day you see him, in fact, when you see him right now, he doesn't have that skin. His skin is as polished brass. Brass is not white. Brass is not black. Brass is brass. So that idea, so when I was just a child, and you know, most of the people we ate from, we are from there. I didn't know much of ministers here. Then I took that book. After reading it, I just got home that night. I entered my room. I said, God, you're partial. Is it because this boy is a white boy? At the age of, how many, 7 or 8, he saw heaven. When I was reading, I was, see, this boy experienced this. Was telling us about heaven and how heaven is and how, you know, he met the Lord and how they, you know, the Lord introduced him to heaven and the Lord showed him about his ministry, future ministry. I said, God, I said, Lord, if you are not partial, prove it to me. Now, I was ready for the Lord that night. The only thing I didn't say is I will backslide. No, but I was already filled with the Holy Ghost. So I even the Holy Ghost alone that I was enjoying cannot make me backslide. But I just said, Lord, prove it. That word did not finish coming out of my mouth. And the power of the Holy Ghost came on me. Nobody was in the room. I was not praying. I was just arguing. The power of the Holy Ghost came on me. The next thing I found myself lifted and on the floor. I was rolling on the floor. I couldn't get up for 30 minutes. I was rolling on the floor, drunk in the spirit, praying in tongues. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't that I got filled with the Holy Ghost, but I was drunk. I tried getting up. I fell. In fact, I scattered everything in that room. By the time I got up, and I'm now saying, "There, Lord, may this." Yes, it has been proven you're not partial. You're good to all. Amen. My stories. Amen. So I was talking about these all died in faith. So I was trying to make you see that the faith that I knew then, because having grown read and then read and grown reading Hagin's books and all of that, and reading Papayedikbo's books, you should not die in faith. Have you ever seen Papa making boasts of faith exploits? How they placed the man on faith and he produced. So when I went to Oral Roberts University and I looked at the things that faith built, and I said, the same God that is here is also the same God that is in Nigeria. This can be done. So by the time you finish listening to such men, and you now hear they all died in faith. You don't understand? That was the confusion I had about faith. The first time, It was confusion. When I read it, I said, what faith is this? You don't die in faith. You live. And the life I thought that was, that we are talking about here, was live, show faith exploit, subdue. When men say there's a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. That's Baba's word. So how can you tell me they all died in faith? But that was my entrance. So that place troubled me all the time. When I read and read and read, because I used to read Bible a lot. I still read Bible now. But the way I read it those days, when I get to Hebrews, this 11, chapter 11. Once I get to this place, they all died in faith, having not received the promise. Another place that also troubled me in this Hebrews 11, some of them were sown asunder, some of them through cruel mockery. That was faith conversation. That was a conversation. I didn't understand what they were talking about there. The thing, look at it. Some of them quenched the violence of fire. I like that. Escaped this edge of sword. I like that. Out of weakness, made strong. Waxed valiantly in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How many of us like that exploit? Those are faith exploits. But it didn't stop there. Women received their dead raised to life. I like that again. Pray for the dead and they rise. And others we are tortured, not accepting deliverance. They saw a better resurrection. Are you seeing? That is synonymous with all of them. They lived out a conversation because of what they saw. So when they refused, now don't make mistake. Those women who received their dead back to life, those who you know did faith exploits, they also saw something. But I'm trying to show you something. Now when you hear others, we are tortured. That was faith. That was a conversation. Some refused deliverance, meaning deliverance was offered them. I was just imagining, just recently, you know, I think that day I was with my wife in the room, and then I just said, somebody told us one kind of, you know, exercise to do. You know, when you're tired, you know, how you raise your leg and just put your leg on something slanting and then you lie flat at your back. I think that's my daughter that told us about it. And I saw her doing it. So he said, after, if you can rest like that for like, you know, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, you feel refreshed. She was doing it and she said it's working. So me, I tried it. I put my legs. The only thing I discovered was blood, all the blood on my legs. We are all coming to. No, but it helped though. I'm just going somewhere. As I put my leg, and I was sensation of blood, everything just, you know, coming down. And so I now, if my wife noticed, at the point while I was like that, I just said, Now, what I said, was that what came to me was, Peter, what came to him that he said they should crucify him upside down? So I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. You know, that was a conversation. Meaning, I must condescend. He should be the one ascending. So when I just saw that, I said, wow, this guy is great conversational. You know, somebody will just say, okay, maybe he's just trying to be humble. No, he saw something. He saw something. He saw something. Oh, these things are too much. He saw something. He saw foundation. He saw where he belonged to. He was a foundation stone. So you go down.
I'll show you even the specific conversation, even that specific lifestyle, that the demand of everlasting life that you've heard wants and he ought and wants you to live out. I'll show you. For the thing about everlasting light, for the things about the light of everlasting life, is that when it gets into you, when the understanding enters you, when the knowledge enters you, it begins to paint pictures. Is to bring even instructions, even impressions of how you ought to live, of what is expected of you, even according to that light. But you see, that light is a light for life. It's a light for life. It's a light for conversation. It's a light for living. It's a light for behavior. Even how those who that light comes to ought to live. And as you use that behavior, as you do that conversation, as you behave the character and animate even the instruction of that light, you demonstrate that life. You demonstrate even a life that is higher than the life of gross darkness. For gross darkness is being embodied. Gross darkness is being lived out. For gross darkness is being demonstrated even by men, even by fallen men. For fallen men are proudly even demonstrated. Even falling light, even gross darkness is being lived out even before you. And children follow after that light. And many in the church follow after that light. But I am cursing even this same light, even this same ancient light, even this same everlasting light that men in old times, even many, many men, obeyed in their own manner as it was given them in their dispensation, for to knock darkness on the head, for to put darkness down, for to bear witness that there is an everlasting life even in God. And I was glorified and the adversary was limited. So also I am causing you to come into everlasting light, that you might demonstrate everlasting life, everlasting everlasting conversations. I want you to demonstrate it as it rises. This, even in your spirit, do it at home, do it at work, do it in every place, do that which gross darkness has no answer to.
Amen. Wow.
What am I look, my 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 look, my
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Iga shefre pesinio zatate vesio maitio centres tian maitio navasin. My older centres avaiges and tuvas ebias ten juvas and maitonias. I owe the troca vastios and travusca bivel tisgenios in jutan. I gias isio santia for the end of revelation. The end of the cycle of revelation, even to you, is grace. Is to produce a grace. Is to produce grace for a conversation. A conversation that is revealing to you how you ought to live. How you ought to press out a conversation that will cause even the approval of heaven to hang right over you. You are not just hearing words. A life is being spelled out. And as that life is being spelled out, grace to live it. Grace to live it also accomplish every revelation. And you're in a season of grace. You're in a season of grace. A season of grace for the season where the demand for this conversation is made upon you. It also coincides with the delivery of grace. Delivery of grace to spell out this conversation. You need to spell out this conversation. This conversation that's a product of the revelation. That is what is called faith. For faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a conversation of approval. Faith is a conversation that even Jesus excelled with in his days of his flesh and attracted in heaven a shout that said God was well pleased with him. He also wants to be well pleased with you so he will reveal the life. And in the revelation of the life is also the grace to spell it out. The grace to live it out. The grace to live it out. The grace to live it out. So do not take lightly even the unveiling of the person of Jesus, even the revelation of Jesus, for it is grace for the conversation of approval, even before the God Almighty, even before God Almighty. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without the conversation of life that he expects of you, it is impossible to please him. Therefore, he pours grace, and he's poured grace upon you. Grace by the opening of your eyes, to see this conversation better, to see it better, and gone for it, so that in the days of your flesh you also receive that approval that he is well pleased with you. For well pleasing is a product of well doing. Do well, and you will well please the Father. For Cain did not do well. He didn't do well, and therefore he did not please the Father, and sin took over. But not so for you, as you spell out the conversation that is taught you through revelation and live out the grace that is revealed. Live out the grace that is revealed. The conversation of life embedded even in the revelation of Jesus, says the Spirit of God.
Amen. How many of us want to please God? The God we are pleasing here is the everlasting God, because he's a rewarder. So he's a pleasing after the order of everlasting life. So to please God here means that there's a conversation. The conversation that will please God, the everlasting God, for reward to open is a conversation of everlasting life. Are we together? So here, like I said, he said, others we are tortured. Now, in pleasing God, now I want you to understand this, that in this conversation of everlasting life, there are seasons of what you might perceive as victory testimony or testimonies of victory. Like put to flight the armies of the alien, you know, quench the violence of fire. Now, there's season for that. But one will say, this is victory. This is what I want. But I also want you to see that being tortured is a hard
place to go to. Even me, I don't like going there. Others were tortured. It's a victory. That you went through what Satan intended for to discourage you and make you stop pursuing or engaging the conversation of everlasting life. You went through it and you didn't draw back. It's a victory. Is a victory that they celebrate in the spirit. Is a pleasing. Is pleasing to God. Those are sacrifices. Now let me also make you see. Putting the to flight the enemies, the army of the aliens, is not. I want you to see somebody like Gideon. He wasn't, you know, I mean, we reckon with his victory, but you need to know that he was under pressure of captivity. He rose from somewhere. Now, we love his victory report. I used to remember those days, the magazine we used to get, I think it was Kenneth Copeland's one that was Victory Report or something. Those magazines, I used to love those magazines a lot. When I get them, Voice of Victory, yeah. I used to file it and read it over and over again. Now, those victories came also out of what they saw. It was a conversation. Now, there's a way we can relate with the victory and want to take the victory and run away. And think that that is what it means all to please God. No, it's a wholesome sacrifice. So when you hear, some we are tortured, not accepting deliverance because they wanted, they saw a better resurrection. So, what they were looking for was as a result of what they saw. Something was informing that conversation. They wanted a better resurrection. So, they refused. Now, let me say this so that you don't misunderstand this place. It's just the way we'll look at Moses. Maybe next time when we're talking, we'll talk about Moses. Who refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. That was an offering. Could he have had a choice? Or he had a choice? Did he have a choice? He did. You know, I told you one time that if you are to counsel Moses, or if I had to look at wisdom that comes from man, I would say, Shebi, is it not to let the children of Israel go? Hey, calm down. When you become Pharaoh of Egypt, that's the easiest way. You release them and they will go. You can even escort them, put them on caravan. And then they will land at the land of Canaan. But that would not be heavenly conversation. Is that not victory? But that was victory that I'm trying to divide something here. But this victory, you know, you see those exploits. Those exploits is also as a result of conversation. So he had option. He rejected it. The Bible said he chose to. He chose to suffer, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of God's people than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know the pleasure of sin? It was not fornication. It was the throne. The throne of Egypt. That's pleasure. God showed him that that's the throne of sin. And it's for a season. So he chose, I would rather suffer. So you can now understand that place that some, we are tortured, rejecting deliverance because they wanted a better resurrection. I'm trying to show you something here. Both are all in the same conversation. There are seasons, that was what the Holy Ghost was telling me while I was sitting down there. There are seasons when it is outstanding victory, you know, testimony that you will share and everybody will rejoice and say, wow, it's a proof that our God liveth. And there are also seasons in the same conversation when you will have to. Let's read it together so that you can see it. Some of them we are tortured. Then others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of burns and imprisonment. You know, I can relate with this a little bit. There was a season in my life that not long ago, I was like, God, what exactly? I just told myself, well, the only thing I could find in the scripture that could keep my heart was where Paul said, I was made a gazing stock. I was just saying, men will look at me and say, wow. Not wow as in victory, wow as in Kai. You know, you're following the Lord. You are doing everlasting life. And look at how things have turned. Or look at the things that are happening to you. But that was also a conversation. That's what they call cruel mockery. Spirits. You don't know what it means for spirits to taunt you. Will tell you this is the reason why this thing is happening to you. It's because of what you're preaching. This is the reason why this is happening to you. Because of what you're following. You say you want to do faith, hope, charity, and move to everlasting life. And then from everlasting life to eternal life. That's the reason. Several times they came to me and said, you are the one causing your trouble. You said you want to stand on Mount Zion. You're the one causing your trouble. Relinquish it. I mean, do normal ministry. Do something nice that. And as he will paint pictures of ministers, you know, together with, you know, their suit. When you look at such ministers, you just like bankers, you know, just no wahala. They can go for holiday anytime they want to go for holiday. You know what I mean by holiday? Take out 1 month, go for holiday. Like that season, I was listening to a man of God. He said that he just went for a holiday. He was just coming back from Dubai, went to spend a holiday like a month. He just took a month off, just went and relaxed and just you know. And I'm saying, I'm not even asking for holiday. I'm just asking for a break from what I am going through. I'm not looking for holiday. So Satan will just You begin to bring pictures of ministers, you know, look at this one, look at this one, look at that one. Look at how your life is just, you know, look at all the things that surround you. But the Lord will come sometimes and encourage me. Just the way Satan will bring those ministers, the Lord will also bring ministers of the gospel. One minister of the gospel, he kept on bringing all the time. When Satan comes and, you know, brings all kinds of thoughts, you know, he will bring one minister, one powerful evangelist, servant of God, is an elderly right now, but still with so much of the Holy Ghost. I've never seen a man with so much manifestation and demonstration of the Spirit. I've never seen. I've been in his meeting. The Lord will say, see his car. He has car. At least that one, I'm aware of it. He lost his four children in a day, in one sweep. They all drowned before him. The Lord said, you see that car? He will bring another person and say, see, he has his car. The other one, he has his car. Those are also conversations. They are sacrifices. Are they not victories? They are victories. I can share with you testimonies. Victory testimonies. But there are also the other side of it, scars. They all come together. Now, there is nobody who was mentioned here in Hebrews 11 that did not sacrifice. These were sacrifices after everlasting order. Look at it. Trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned. At least I've not been sown asunder. We are tempted. We are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin. You know what is sheepskin? Meaning, they experienced the life of a lamb. You can't be in sheepskin. That thing is an honorable clothing in the spirit. See this thing, sheepskin. When you look at a man like John the Baptist with clothes of skin, is for living souls. Means the soul of the man has lived or has come to the point of life. This is not his honor. That's why I say this part you're seeing. When there's a part that the other part, men will celebrate you. But the other side, heaven, they are rejoicing. They are celebrating. They are celebrating the fact that you are able to hold on. You're able to continue. You're able to defy all odds. Temptations we are thrown at you. Scourgings, mockery, bonds and imprisonment. But you're still going. You're still going. Even with little strength, you're still willing to move and keep moving, not relenting. If you know how they stand and cheer, woo, you're scoring the goal. You're making a point. You're bringing down conversations. Conversations. Such conversations, you know what they are doing? When such conversations are coming on earth, what is happening is that Satan is being destroyed. That's how you bruise the head of the serpent. Satan is being... How he thrives his conversation also. What did Cain bring down? Conversation. If you bring a superior conversation, it will, because you see, what do you call culture? Let's examine it. What do you call culture? Are you now seeing it? What did you call it? So, if it's a way of life, then it means everlasting life is a culture. It's a culture. It's a culture. It's a way of life. It's a way of life that a soul can assess and live that way of life. Listen. Ways. I'm trying to frame it properly. To bring God down, you have to have His way. There has to be a way. And that way will not be on the express. Men have to find and live. And as they are living, you're making His way known to the earth. One of the things that I knew Satan wrestled with mankind after the fall in Genesis chapter 6 was way. All he wanted was let the way of Yahweh be removed from the earth. How? The imagination of their hearts. Because way is in the heart. The imagination of their heart were, we are evil continually. Meaning their hearts will not allow, custode the ways of God. And once ways are removed, God is cut off. So let's do it the other way. Let's bring God's ways. We bring God's ways long enough, it will also remove the way of the adversary. What it takes for him to fall is let his ways not be here. He will fall. Did you understand what I mean? Is you want to bring God, let his ways be established. You remember what Sam cried? David cried in Sam, "Oh Lord, be merciful to us and bless us, that thy ways might be known." Now, when you have God's way, you remember Isaiah cried, "Make his ways straight for the Lord to come." So he will come when there is way. So if way is made for the Lord will leave where he is and come down. Did you understand me? Now, there's no way his ways will be made, or his ways are being made, and the ways of the one who has been present. Because what makes him to have his affair with man is way. Remove his way, you cut him off, he falls. He exists because of ways. He is in the air. Because when he said the Lord will come, the Lord will come to the air. One of the things the Lord was telling me, you know, preparation for this, I just wait on the Lord, not knowing what to say, but he will just say some things to me. Before he will come in the air, which will be a sign before the rapture, certain conversations will have to be embodied. There are conversations that has not yet visited the earth that will visit the earth. And it will come
by revelation. What did I say? It will come by revelation. Meaning, as we are walking, you know, the prophet said that specific conversation. That was exactly what the Lord was telling me. Specific conversation that has not been witnessed on earth. I know certain conversation that I am engaging presently that I know the Lord wants it to be that way and wants it to remain that way because it is making a way for him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Certain conversations. Wow. Thing is just opening. It's just beginning to open. There's an atmosphere here. If you're sensitive, there's something just here. I want you to be reverent and shout. Be reverent and shout. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy conversations. Holy conversations. Holy conversations. Conversation beyond the covering. Conversations higher than the covering cast. Conversations that will pierce the covering cast. Conversations that will render the covering cast irrelevant. Conversations that will make redundant the covering cast over man. Conversations, holy conversations. That is why angels must come. That is why angels must come. For you see, angels must visit you even under that covering, even to bring to you the archives of the conversation over the covering. For you see, there's a high fellowship, a high conversation beyond the covering cast. And as you lay hold on that conversation, you make the covering cast irrelevant. For the irrelevance of the covering cast over man is that men are oblivious of a higher conversation. But when that higher conversation visits the earth, even the covering cast
past will see its irrelevance, will see its redundancy, and it will be rolled away. It will be rolled away. So what is visiting you even in this time, what is being made available to you, is the conversation that will see to the erosion of that covering cast. That covering cast. That covering cast. Oh, come embrace the conversation beyond the covering. The high fellowship that was couched, even archived in the person of Jesus. And Jesus even gave it to angels to bring to you. Messengers sent. Messengers sent. Ministers sent to the heirs of salvation. Heir to the heirs of salvation. To carry as witnesses of this conversation. It will come to you in pieces. It has come to you in pieces. It has come to you in pieces. Breakthroughs in understanding. We're carrying conversations beyond that which has plagued men. Embrace the conversation. Embrace the lifestyle. And live beyond the covering. Live beyond the covering. Angels sent. Angels sent. Custodians of that conversation. Custodians of that reality. Even that reality that will make the enemy of God to fade away. To fade away from your heavens. To fade away from your heavens. Embrace the conversation. It is the grace that is brought at the revelation of Jesus. The high conversation that will see to the end of sin. Even the end of iniquity. For iniquity, even sin, is the conversation of the covering cast. Is the conversation of the covering cast. So what manner of men you ought to be in all holy conversation is being brought to you. As you look at a sin unto the coming of he who is higher than the covering. For Jesus is higher than the heavens. He is higher than the covering cast over all of humanity. He is higher than the covering cast. And he embodies that conversation. Even of high fellowship. That conversation of high fellowship. That high fellowship is high fellowship. That conversation of high fellowship.
Let me just tie it together. Give me Hebrews 11, the last verse where we began from. God having provided some better thing for us. You know, I told you, I said, what made more or excellent sacrifice was an excellent knowledge. So God providing for us the knowledge is for a conversation. Now, there is a specific conversation that every one of us that will stand in Zion has to embody. Every one of us that will stand in Zion, you have to embody. It will be written but concerning you by faith, Leke. By faith, Demola. Now, when he said by faith, and he mentioned names specifically, meaning that there is a particular conversation you embodied. That embodying of that conversation is tantamount to writing your name in heaven. Names are written by conversation. He said, rejoice, for your name is written. Your name will not be written when you've done nothing. So there is a particular conversation. As we journey, we are journeying together. After a while, you just begin to see the Lord begin to visit you. We are gathering knowledge of everlasting life. What it will crystallize to our particular heavenly
conversation that will earn you a place in Zion. In the book of Revelation, the reward was that they gave them a name which no other person knows except he that actually received that name. You won't receive a name when you don't have conversation of that name. Names are tied to conversation. Names are tied. When you say he will sit on the seat of his father, the throne of his father, David. Why did they call that throne David? That throne has always been there. Nobody saw it. Saul didn't see it. But David saw it and demonstrated it in the days of his flesh. And they called it the throne of David. And so it will be called forever. They won't change it. Somebody embodied it. You have one, you will embody. I have one, I will embody. Every one of us. There's nobody who will arrive at Zion without embodying a specific conversation. So Hebrews 11, they've not finished it. Scripture still continues. Because God haven't provided some better conversation by reason of better substances. Because that was the whole teaching of Paul in the book of Hebrews. Better substances. Because of better conversations that will earn you a better name. It's called more excellent name than they. More excellent name is because of more excellent sacrifice. That more excellent sacrifice is as a result of more excellent conversation that came as a result of excellent knowledge. So when you see Paul was crying in Philippians for the excellent knowledge of him, is for to embody an excellent conversation because of excellent name. All of them that stood there, they all had a conversation. He gave us an example. Hebrews was a mountain. Hebrews 11 is a mountain. Hebrews 11 is a mountain. Men climbed it. Men got up there. How? By conversation. They were able to pick up a conversation and they climbed and they obtained. By faith the elders, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. You know what is good report? I think good report is something you earn just by being a normal believer. You know what I mean by being a normal believer? Good weather. Fair weather believer. No. Good report? Good report is what made them elders. I write to you what? Fathers. Then John was saying to the elder. So to be an elder, that elder, those are elders in everlasting life. These are not. So that good report was a good report. Okay. Like I said, the thing is just beginning to open. So there is a conversation that every one of us have to come into. I'm praying that we will see it. We will see it. Oh God, we will see it. And when, you know,
will see it, our seeing it, they will also require us to embrace it. So that when we see it, we will not shy away from it. You can shy away from it. Cain saw that conversation. Now, if Cain, if you ask me, if Abel saw something and offered a lamb, and Cain brought fruit, Shebi, if it was a question of blood, he would have given Abel fruit, trade by barter. You take care of flock, or you give me one flock too. Let me offer. But it was not a matter of livestock, or it was a matter of revelation, a conversation. They showed him his own conversation. He was supposed to be one of the first fruit because he was the firstborn. But like Cain, I mean like Esau, say, what is this to me? What is this to me? Let me just live my normal life. Later on, we saw the conversation he was actually keeping. He had visions of cities, visions of self-reliance, visions of self-sufficiency, visions of... And that is the vision, that's the way. All your technology is that mindset. Everything that the world, this present world and this present civilization have actually built on is this ideology. A life that does not depend on God. I can do without you. Can I tell you something? It begins with us coming to the place where we recognize that I alone, I am not sufficient. God showed it too. You know, those things are in the scripture. And God said, it's not good for man to dwell alone. It's not good. It's not good. It wasn't designed that way. Man was not supposed to be independent. Man wasn't supposed to be independent. Man was supposed to be totally dependent on God. You know, when in your marriage, you tell your partner, I can do without you. Do you know who you're talking to? You're speaking like Cain. Because God made it in such a way that in marriage we depend on one another. There in that marriage, we are supposed to bear that conversation of depending on each other. But in your marriage, you can actually decide that I can do whatever I want to do. Without you, I can do what I want to do. Especially when there is some financial power in both hands. I can pursue my dream. I had my life before I met you. Will I, because of you, I'll just throw down everything I want to do? There are things I want to achieve. Will I, because of you, I will not achieve what I want to achieve? No. The day you met him, the day you met her, you're supposed to depend on each other. And the only way to depend on each other is that you're supposed to see something. When you see something, then that marriage, that relationship, that marriage will begin to mirror out how a man. So they even train you with marriage. When you can't depend on your spouse. Somebody say, I know, we are not supposed to depend on our spouse, we are supposed to depend on God. You can't depend on God, whom you don't see, when you've not learned how to depend. God's standards are high. So he will teach you submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That will train you before you meet me. Because when you meet me, when you now want to come to me, I will level out my own standards. And if you've not done it in your marriage, that will be difficult. Say, nah, no. I can't do this. I can't follow God. So you can see where Cain got to. He had journeyed. He journeyed, but he got to a place where I said, no, Abba, it's too much. So does it mean that people cannot People cannot realize their dreams again in life. People cannot do what they want to do. This is me. I want to be me. Why? No, like, I'm sorry. I don't know why I always come to marriage. I don't know why. Last Sunday, I dwelt in it a lot. And I was wondering, why did I come there? Like, I heard somebody say, you know, to the husband, I need my space. I'm feeling choked. You're too much on me. I need my space. I need to cool my head. Because life is not all about. When I heard it, I was afraid. I said, this one, if heaven loves you, they will break your leg. If they love you, they will break your leg. Your space? You don't have any space. Actually, your space is in her as a man. As a woman, your space is in him. Then both of you, your space is in God. Anything outside that is a conversation that is not from above. I don't know if you're blessed. I say it will just keep opening up. But we will talk about it more next Sunday. How many of you are ready for conversation? I want you to begin to pray. God, show me. You know the way it came to me. God, show me that white stone conversation. Wow. How many of us will say that? Oh, some of you are not interested in this thing that we are talking about. Can you say it with me? Lord, show me. I'm not hearing everyone say, Lord, show me. That white stone conversation. It's conversation that will end you white stone. Which no other person knows except you. Meaning there is a specific conversation that you're supposed to show forth, bear while you're here, that will end you that white stone. And you receive it. It's a reward of those who come to God that believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Makadena pasutana kadene pasuladana pasul. Emaniantu pasulagadena kasiti pasul. Emberedeniti pasulado koretiati pasul. Amanara kasiti pasul. For it's the words that you have heard today are mixed with grace. Yea, they are mixed with grace. Yea, for I poured grace into the lips of my servant. Yea, I poured grace into the lips of my servant, that they that hear him today may hear gracious words. Yea, they may hear gracious words. Yea, they may hear gracious words to link a conversation. Yea, a conversation. Yea, a conversation of high grace. Yea, a conversation of the grace of the throne. For you see, where sin abounds, yea, grace yet much more abound. Yea, grace abounds. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. So I say, go in this might. Go in this might. Yea, go in this might. Go in this might and prove darkness wrong. Yea, go in this might and prove sin wrong. Yea, grace has been ministered to your heart. Yea, walk in grace. Live in grace. Do grace and come up to mercy, saith the Lord Jesus.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909 054 2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for